Could spying get in the way of U.S. trade?
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A massive free trade deal between the U.S. and Europe could be in jeopardy following the latest U.S. spying revelations. Documents revealed by former CIA man and intelligence contractor Edward Snowden suggest the U.S. spied on European Union offices. America's European allies are livid, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Snowden's latest batch of leaked documents show that American intelligence planted bugs in EU offices in New York and Washington. Conversations, phone calls, and emails were monitored. Senior European politicians say the US is treating the EU like an enemy. Jean Asselborn is Luxembourg's foreign minister. He says the free trade talks, due to start next week, can hardly go ahead in this climate.
It's not possible to negotiate if there is no confidence on both sides. So I hope that President Obama and the administration in the United States, they will reestablish immediately this confidence that we need.
The vice president of the European Parliament has gone further. She says if the spying allegations are true, the EU must immediately suspend the trade talks. So far, the only high-level reaction from the US has come from Secretary of State John Kerry. He says the alleged bugging of an ally is not unusual in international relations. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The European Union this morning accused 13 banks, including some big names, with antitrust violations. Authorities allege they got together to shut out competition in derivatives. Market, the financial data company, and a trade association is also charged. There's still a chance Congress could change this in the next couple weeks, but as of this morning, the interest rate has doubled on new federally subsidized student loans. It's now 6.8%, up from 3.4%. While this change could cost the average student $2,600, critics say the larger problem is the sometimes crippling levels of the debt itself. Is there a better way? Well, Bruce Chapman, an economist at the Australian National University in Canberra, is the architect of a system that's attracting some attention in Washington, D.C. They do what, Professor?
It is quite different. When people enroll in college, they sign a contract agreeing to pay in the future, but only when and if their incomes are above currently about $50,000 Australian dollars a year.
Let me get this straight. So if you come out with a degree at an Australian university and you're not making that much money to start for the first few years, and perhaps your salary is under about 50,000 Australian dollars, you don't have to pay this thing back at all at that stage.
That's correct. You pay nothing until your income reaches that level. And then it's like kind of an income tax system. It's progressive. That is, you pay 4% of your income after 50,000, which is about $1,400 a year off your debt. It can get up to 8% of your income if you're earning about 70,000.
The feature of this that will particularly hurt the heads of Americans hearing it is that it was designed, if I have this right, knowing full well that many students will never pay the money back.
Well, let's look at the data. The proportion of the money that comes back is at least 85 to 90%, because most graduates from Australian universities will have a starting salary which is greater than the $50,000. So the critical point is that just about every graduate will pay this back, but you are protecting the ones who aren't in a position to pay back.
Is there any argument that this system allows graduates to take on lower paid careers that might be of use to society at some sort of greater rate, as opposed to those who might be burdened with student loans who have to go in and get a higher paid, perhaps corporate job?
There's no evidence for that. If you're a graduate in Australia, over your lifetime, on average, you'll earn about $1.5 million more dollars than if you're a non-graduate. The debts are about $25,000. So how much is this really? And if you wanted to avoid paying back, yes, you could by taking a low-pay job. But even the low-pay jobs eventually would be paying more than the $50,000.
Professor, have any other countries expressed interest or adopted the Australian model?
Yes, they have. While we've been doing this for 25 years, it has now been adopted in about 6 or 7 other countries, including England and New Zealand, Hungary and Korea.
Bruce Chapman is Director of Policy Impact at the Australian National University's Crawford School of Public Policy. Dr. Chapman, thank you.
My pleasure.
get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
For years, Medicare, the government health insurance program for seniors, has paid three or four times the market rate for things like wheelchairs, walkers, and even diabetes. Starting today, that's changed in a way that could save $43 billion over the next decade. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Until now, Medicare paid about $78 for a box of 100 diabetes test strips. Starting today, Medicare Director Jonathan Blum says the government won't pay more than about $25.
And that is tremendous savings both for the taxpayers but also for the beneficiaries themselves.
The lower price for testing strips and lots of other medical equipment like walkers and hospital beds are the result of a new competitive bidding process that reflects market prices. Medicare says the change could save taxpayers more than $40 billion over the next decade. Those billions will come out of the pockets of home medical equipment companies like Ashley Ploches in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I think that this is a very chaotic time for our industry, and it's hard to predict where it will go.
She says her family business, Lambert's Healthcare, will make about 45% less than it did last week selling the same items. Ploches says many home healthcare companies could go out of business. Medicare says its main objective is to stop paying three or four times the going rate for items like oxygen tanks and scooters. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And Grenada in the Caribbean has a new law criminalizing offensive behavior on social media like Facebook or Twitter. If a user feels something is offensive, they can now file a complaint with police. A judge will then decide, with fines up to $37,000 or 3 years in jail. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.